All right, James Duffy in studio, brought to you by Valiant Financial.
What is that video you sent?
I got a sponsor. The guy deleted the tweet, unfortunately. Don't you hate it when you, like, quote tweet something and then the tweet is deleted? So you look like
an idiot. Was that somebody drunk or what?
No. So this is the truth. This girl's name is Elizabeth Swaney. It's a remarkable story. She went to Harvard. She ran as a, like, 20-year-old for governor or something and lost to Arnold Schwarzenegger. So she has worked the system perfectly. She's basically a casual skier. And it is half pipe in skiing. So there's a snowboard event in half pipe, and there's a skiing event in half pipe where they do all the tricks, right? So essentially, after Eddie the Eagle, they made these rules that you couldn't have some doofus qualify just because it was he had from a country that didn't have a team. But in this particular sport, I guess there's not a ton of athletes. So she went through the World Cup circuit for the last, like, year, and she would always go to the events where there wouldn't be that many. So there might only be 20 athletes that go to the event. And a few of them would fall, and she just skis down the path pipe.
She survives.
She doesn't do any tricks.
No, nothing.
She just goes up and goes down. At the end, you saw she turned backwards for the last 10 yards, which any person who skied 10 times can do. And that's what she does, and so she finished 13th, 15th, 17th, 22nd, and she racked up enough points, and because of the quota system they have, you know, if certain athletes are injured and countries don't bring enough, these littler countries, they want them in the Olympics, so Hungary gets an Olympian, so here she is in the Olympic Games, this basically middle-of-the-road blue slope skier. It's insane.
I couldn't believe
it. But what are you doing? Are you trying to get the story and
well, you know what? She's like, she or her quotes are like, I'm trying to inspire other people from Hungary.
No, that's good.
It's a bit of a crutch. It's an embarrassment for the Olympics.
She wants to party and be an Olympian. I don't blame her. I think that's an incredible strategy.
No, it's not really her fault. It's the system's fault.
Right.
That you can't allow, like, it's ridiculous. I was like you. I watched it and thought this was an SNL skit.
I thought it was
and
a
the
joke.
Commentators were in on it. But
because
no,
they treated it like it was serious to an extent. They weren't laughing.
No.
Like, they weren't like, okay, let me explain this story. She's brutal. She somehow circumvented the system. This is an embarrassment. They're like, and here she comes down the half pipe. Oh, she turns.
She's turning here. She's just trying to make it clean.
That was crazy, man.
Now, probably the Olympics took down the tweet because the guy had probably used it without authorization. But if you could look it up, it's Elizabeth Swaney. And if you can find it somewhere on the internet, it's worth your time because it's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Well,
like, I will say this, I've skied and wanted to go down a half pipe a couple times. It is scary, so I'm not saying that I could do it, but I would say 50% of everyday skiers who go to Collingwood could do what she has done
and be in South Korea right now representing a country.
Right, it's nuts, but she's at the Olympics.
Well, I was having this conversation earlier. I was at my parents' and my sisters were there and brother-in-law's, and we were talking about, like, Jesse Lumsden is going for gold again, right? Like, he's a multi-year Olympian in bobsled.
Right.
And there's another woman, I can't remember her name, her name's escaping me, but she was a summer athlete, and now she's with Haley Humphreys, and she's a part of the two-woman bobsled team, and she only started doing it like 6 months ago. Doesn't that cheapen the Olympics a little bit?
Well, bobsled is the one sport where you just find the greatest athlete, and that's all they've ever done. Just for the push, not for the driving, but for the push, all you're doing is the strongest, fastest guy you can have. So they used to always go to the track and recruit sprinters, or in Lumsden's case, a running back, a football player, somebody who's super strong and super fast. So, because all you're pushing as hard as you can, then you got to jump into the thing, and that's all you do.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's always been the way with bobsled. You're still an athlete, though.
And those, I'm not disputing that, but it's still, if you started a sport 6 months ago, and now you're performing at the pinnacle of the sport, the pinnacle platform, the Olympics, and your partner is Kaylee Humphreys, who won. Didn't she win the Lou Marsh a couple of years ago? Like a great Canadian Olympian, one of the faces of Team Canada. And you're just going to jump on board, and her name's Felicia George is her name.
I think that's one of the only spots, though, left in the Olympics, is the pusher in bobsled where you could do that, where you could just go down. You know, in the old days of sliding, I remember Rick Riley wrote a piece way back from Sports Illustrated that he signed up for luge, and he was like 22nd ranked in luge in America because there was only 22 lugers. So he figured that was the best place you could go.
Yeah.
But it's probably a little bit different now. But no, there's still some goofiness with the Olympic Games. We know that.
How are you feeling about trade deadline? We're a week away here.
The one thing that hasn't happened this year that actually gives me hope is that we haven't had that day. Usually it's 2 weeks before on a Thursday or a Friday where one of the guys near the top of the list gets traded, and then within hours two more guys get traded because you're always waiting for that first domino. And that hasn't happened. Having said that, that will probably happen this week. It'll probably happen Wednesday or Thursday, middle of the afternoon, and we'll get three deals that kind of screw us a little bit. But hey, I'm feeling good about it. Out of the last 5 years, there's a lot of interesting names, and there's a few teams like Ottawa, Montreal Rangers, who seem to really want to make substantive changes. And this could be the year, you know, we always promise the blockbuster knowing there's never going to be a blockbuster. I mean, you could have Erik Karlsson or something. Who knows now with Melnick now in the office every day, you know, as the CEO.
Who knows with so many bad teams?
That kind of wackiness could happen, which we haven't had that possibility, frankly, in 2 or 3 years of something. Stamkos, I suppose, but Yzerman made it really clear 2 weeks before the deadline last year that wasn't happening. So I think this is the first year where you could actually have something really big happen that catches us off guard, which would be fantastic.
Is Karlsson the only guy you can think of, or is there another player that comes to mind?
I
mean, anyone around the table here can chime in, but
I don't think so.
I don't know. Carey
Price.
That's
like a top five player.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. That's what I'm saying. Like, could Tavares? Tavares would be that, but the Islanders are currently in a playoff pursuit.
They
might end up getting in.
No, Montreal's so stealth. Like, could they do something really big? You'd never find out about it, but
they're so stealth and so brutal at the same time.
If they do nothing, I mean, there should be protests on the streets.
Isn't it better if nobody does anything and they just hold all their cards the whole day?
Yeah, I mean, there should be a...
Yeah, but eventually a trade has to happen. There has to be something.
But what if all the teams, nothing happened?
Why would you want that?
It'd be great for James. They could just talk about the potential...
You need something to come in at some point, right?
Yeah.
Like, Rick Nash is getting traded.
Yeah.
Evander Kane, I think, will be traded. Mike Green, you have to believe, will be traded.
Yeah. And, you know, even if stuff happens on Sunday... Trade deadline's Monday.
That's fine.
It's fine because that gives us stuff. Even if stuff happens on the weekend, if you can get it to the weekend without anything major happening, well, you know, even now we'll talk about the trades that happen this week, next week. So we're fine. Plus, we got a couple of special surprises next week, as always. So looking forward to those.
Okay. Trade Center next Monday on TSN. And I think once we move beyond Trade Center, then we start talking about the playoffs and we also start talking about the lottery a little bit more. But I was looking at the standings this morning. Like you mentioned, the Habs, Montreal's third last in the league. Like Arizona and Buffalo are 100% the two last place teams in the league. They will finish 31st and 30th. I don't know which order because they're right there, but they will finish dead last in second to last. But then it goes Montreal, Ottawa, Vancouver, Edmonton. Shouldn't the lottery be a bigger conversation? Like, I don't sense that we're talking about it on a national level whatsoever.
Well, it's because we're in Toronto. I think they're talking about it a lot in Ottawa.
Do you get that sense?
Yeah, they're talking about it a lot in Edmonton.
Isn't it scary to say that Edmonton's involved in the lottery talk?
They you do almost not want to win the lottery if you're in Edmonton, out of the shame.
Oh, I would take the shame. You need the shame. Yeah. Rasmus Dahlin seems to be that good, and he's a defenseman. It's what they want.
It really could happen, which is lunacy.
I know.
It's lunacy.
I know.
I think as we get closer to it because of that Canadian presence, and he really is, like, he is McDavid Matthews-esque as a defenseman, I think. He'll change the franchise that gets him. Unless it's Edmonton, he'll somehow screw it up.
Somehow they'll ruin
it. I don't know. Yeah. Isn't it funny, though, that all they talk about is a player to play with McDavid and Taylor Hall is sitting there.
Fantastic year.
I understood.
Jordan Eberle's having a fantastic year. Get rid of two great wingers and they're like, man, I wish we had a scoring winger around here.
Well, and they still need a defenseman. That's the best part. Bob Nicholson came out, didn't he? He's like, hopefully we make a move and bring in a defenseman.
But that's not all the Oilers' fault either. Like, at the time, it felt like they needed to move. It felt like those guys needed a change.
Scouting is pathetic. If you look at what they brought into that lineup, other than McDavid, what is it? Somebody tell me.
Draisaitl. Yeah.
And they don't
Draisaitl, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, but they were first and third overall.
They don't have a ton in the system either.
Yeah.
Nurse is okay.
What have they done with their secondary picks? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. No. Edmonton's a tire fire. They're brutal. Like, they're a really bad organization and a bad team, and they've got arguably the best player in the world, and I think the guy who will be the best player in the world for the next 10 or 15 years collectively, but I'm starting to doubt my take when they first won that lottery that they would 100% win a Stanley Cup simply because they have McDavid.
You watch them play right now, it's McDavid going around the ice 100 miles an hour trying to score a goal, and the rest is just nonsense.
Nothing. Absolutely. They've got nonsense. Nothing around him.
And you talk about locking in deals, we're talking baseball, that Lucic contract is...
Dude, I said that the second they signed it. The second they signed it, that was going to be one of the worst contracts in hockey. He's 2 years in. He's not even a full 2 years in. 7 years, $6 million per for a guy who's playing basically on the fourth line.
Yeah, he's a third line. He's a hybrid third, fourth line player right now. Just
an atrocious sign. Peter Chiarelli has done such a poor job. Like, the Lucic signing was terrible.
You weren't
terrible.
Saying that a year ago. A calendar year ago, you were not saying that.
I absolutely was saying that. You heard me say what
they
I said about the Lucic
signing. They were one game
away
from going to a Stanley Cup final. You
no,
weren't
they
were saying
they
that
were one game away from going to a conference final. They lost in the second round to Anaheim.
A conference final.
But didn't you feel like hockey changed overnight? Like, in the playoffs last year, you said, oh, this team's built for it. You know, they're big and they're tough and they have support. And then... all of a sudden, this year started, and you go, this team is yesterday's team.
Right. Too big, too slow.
It's amazing. I mean, hockey, I think, was already changing, and maybe they were just too far behind on it. But they did look okay. They looked good last year for those two rounds. If you have two centers that are playing like superstars, you're fine. Mm-hmm. See Pittsburgh. But, yeah, it was like overnight, hockey passed you by. And now you're screwed.
And now you're in big trouble.
And Luch, if it ends up, it'll end up being one of those Ottawa Phaneuf trades where if they ever move him, they'll have to bring in somebody who's just got just as bad a contract. Right.
That they'll buy out or something like that. As for the Leafs, you know, they played two entertaining games over the weekend. They lose on Saturday in Pittsburgh, but everyone's losing in Pittsburgh these days. And they bounced back with a win last night. And we didn't really get into this conversation, but you look at the top two lines, Matthews and Kadri. Both have been really productive recently. The Kadri line's been the most productive. Who do you think, which line would you expect to be more productive over the final 21 games?
Well, I'll just take the Matthews line. I'll play the favorite easily because we've seen both Marner and Kadri are streaky players. Not necessarily streaky players, but streaky scorers. I think Kadri will play a string of good games and not score. Marner will play his butt off, but not score for 15 games. Those guys have both shown that throughout their career, and I think they'll continue to be like that, where we haven't really seen that. From it will make a big deal if Matthews goes, you know, six games without a goal, but I'm front-running all over that, baby.
Yeah, I think I would lean Matthews, and I'm also not fully committed to the idea that Babcock is fully committed to that Kadri line.
You still think he's on the fence?
I don't think he is today. I think he likes what he sees today, but he's thrown a blender into every other line. The only one he hasn't touched is the Matthews line. And even that, sometimes he'll move Nylander around a little bit. He hasn't done it recently. But if Mitch Marner starts cheating or starts playing poorly, he'll flip him around just to send a message. And I don't think he'll do that with the Matthews line. I think he's shown he's committed to it.
Do you think there's significant underdogs against either Boston or Tampa Bay?
No.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so at all.
It's not a pick-em series. I think the other team would be favored in both. Mm-hmm. But
I think it's only one game, but they played Tampa Bay, and it's only a one-game sample size. But I think when you left that game, you're like, that team doesn't scare the hell out of me.
No.
Well, but they might not be the same after the trade deadline as they are now.
No team is.
But how much movement is really going to happen that's going to change the needle to that extent or move the needle to that extent?
Well, if they get Ryan McDonagh.
Change the needle was a tough little slogan there, pal.
I tried to bring it back.
Move the needle, but yeah. Yeah. But like if they get Ryan McDonagh, suddenly you look at their defense and it looks a little bit better.
Yeah. To the extent, though, that Vegas like adjust the odds so much in their favor. I don't see that happening.
The Leafs are good.
Yeah, exactly. The Leafs have firepower. They got a top 10 penalty kill, close to top 10 power play, mm-hmm. top 5 goalie.
Do you think it's a failure if they lose in the first round to the Tampa Bay Lightning in 7 games?
That's a good question. That sounds like a good quiz question.
In the first round?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you know that's going to be a quiz question.
No, I don't think it is.
It's a good one.
I think last year was such a shock that they got there. This is the first year where the expectation is get to the playoffs. Not anything beyond
that. The expectation is they're going to make the playoffs, right?
I don't know if it was a lock. I had them as a playoff team, but I don't think it was.
I think some people thought they might fall back, that typical fallback, right, the 1 year you
look at Edmonton right now. Look at Ottawa. Like, that happens.
And
there's turnover.
It's a big failure. We would have looked at, if they missed the playoffs in Toronto, we'd look at it and say failure.
Failure for sure, but making it isn't inconsequential either. I mean, that's a success. You made it, and they're going to make it by a significant margin. They're going to end up with over 100 points. And they've only done that, I think, once in their history.
I think get the franchise record.
I think the difference this year is just going to be emotional from the fans. That last year, the playoffs felt like bonus round.
Yeah.
And that this year, if they lose like that in a tough series, it will be more disappointing. That, you know, because these, you know, because what we've seen, the Chicago's sort of winning in that second year of the Taves Kane or whatever, that you have a feeling they could actually go deep this year. So they lose that way, it will be more, I think, devastating to the fan base here than it was last year, where it was like, that was a fun run, but oh well.
It's always been my philosophy, get a cup in before they get out of their entry-level contracts.
Which would be this year or next year, basically?
Well, I agree with your take there, Duffy, when it comes to comparing to where we were at a year ago with our mentalities. Like, I remember walking out of that rink after the Game 6 loss in overtime thinking, this was a blast, get me back here. Like, so it's almost like all year, like the Raptors in a way, like, okay, let's get all the way through the regular season, let's get back to the playoffs so we can start to experience that feeling again. It will be dejecting, I'm not disputing that, if they lose in the first round to Tampa. But I think on the reverse end of it, if they were to win a round and then get swept in the second round, it would be an enormous success.
Yeah.
I think people, like, that's probably, you're right on the line. Like, that really is the line. Game 7 of the first round, that's probably the total for, like, significant changes in terms of an emotional roller coaster.
I don't know, though. When you say now get swept in the second round, then it feels like there's something really missing from these guys.
But they got through a round. They
But if you lose in 7... and you can say, oh, we're right there, and Tampa Bay goes on to win the Stanley Cup. But let's say you beat Tampa Bay, and then you lose, like you get swept by Boston. Then you start to go, oh, this is, we're not as close as we thought.
Like the first round was a fluke.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying, but I think that's, anytime you get swept, you start to doubt exactly what you have. It's going to be fascinating. It's just, don't you feel like we just got to get there?
Yeah, exactly.
This last month, I mean, they are chasing now. They're legit in the chase, even though I think it's far-fetched to get second or first. But at least they're in the chase. We can look at the standings every night and say, okay, 3 points behind, 2 games in hand for the other team, whatever. So there might be a little bit of a race, but it just feels like the next month is just get us to the playoffs.
Yeah, get going. Let's go. Yeah. Playoffs begin in less than 2 months.
Yeah.
Let's get there and let's see what happens.
Do you think, Bill Simmons and some people, NBA people, were throwing out this idea of going back to 1 through 16 and the idea of even a play your way in for the last two spots in some sort of tournament? Would you like to see that in the National Hockey League?
I don't think what travel teams would just say... Although Detroit had to do it like so many times, and like when they were in the West, they had to go out to San Jose, and then they would play LA the next round. It would be a gong show.
Yeah, the GMs don't want to travel. You're right.
No. I love 1 versus 16.
Yeah,
I love that idea. I don't need the play-in.
At the very least, I want to see back to 1 versus 8, and because I'm tired of the matchups.
Yeah,
Pitt versus Washington. I don't need that in the first round. I don't.
Yeah, I don't think we care enough about that, and I don't think you're creating any of the rivalries they'd hope to. Maybe it takes 10 years for us to feel that, and you get 4 Toronto Boston series. But I'm the same way. There was nothing wrong with 1 versus 8.
Nothing.
Yeah. 1 versus 16 though would open up the possibility for any combination of a cup final, which I think would be incredible. Just a dream of Toronto, Montreal in a cup final.
Well, you just potentially get the two best teams, right?
But that's my point. It could be LA Anaheim in a cup final. Could be the Rangers versus the Islanders in a cup. Like, that would be amazing to
you
have.
You definitely
that kind
would
of
have to go 2-3-2. Like, I think you could do it. Like, the big problem they have with the travel is 2-2-1-1-1, where you go flying back and forth, back and forth. If you went 2-3-2, like the NBA does that, right?
Yeah, they do that for the final.
Or no, they went back.
They went back
they
to
do
the other
the
thing?
NHL way now.
Do they? Forever, all the way? Because if you went 2-3-2 and you're only talking about a couple of flights in a series, the problem is 2-3-2, I don't know what you want.
That's the thing, right?
Maybe
right?
If you're the better team, you get to pick.
Better team decides if you want the road games or not, yeah, which would be fascinating.
Hmm. All right. Well, Adam Silver opened up that idea this weekend. He did say that he's not going to be a slave to history and You know, they're going to do whatever makes sense for their league and their business. I like that idea. Like, what do I care that they used to do 1 versus 8 back in the 1940s?
I like the play-in, too, although it's I'd hate it. You could say you can't do that in hockey. They work too hard, but they do it in baseball when you play 162 games, yeah, which is insane. But and those wild card games are, sorry, not the wild card games, the play-in games, what do you call them?
Yeah,
they're fantastic, but when it's over, it's just such an empty feeling for those fans.
Oh, it's the worst. Yeah. You grind that far, that long into the season, and then you lose in a wild card game. All right, Duffy. Good seeing you, man.
Sens in Nashville tonight.
Can't wait.
Not even on in our region, thank goodness.
Yeah. There's James Duffy joining us on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.